of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
This past week, the delegates and clergy of the entire Diocese of Texas gathered in Waco for our Diocesan Council. And on the Thursday night, we gathered for a service, a liturgy, at First Baptist Church, because that was the only place we could all fit. There's so many of us. And the Baptists were very kind. They allowed us to have wine at communion and a bishop, a woman bishop, preach. The Right Reverend Jane Alexander, Bishop of Edmonton, said many amazingly relevant and beautiful things, but the thing that stuck with me, and I bring to you today as an overarching theme for the sermon today, was something that she said at the very beginning of her sermon, which was, "May our dreams be always bigger than our memories." She said this in reference to the people looking back at the glory days, whether it be the glory days of the church, whether it be the glory days in your own life, or to whatever rosy past and where everything seemed to be better somehow. When we come to Lent, we are invited to look at our present so that our vision is ever forward to the potential, the possibilities, the dreams, the big dreams God has for us in our lives, whatever stage we're in. The dream of the kingdom, the dream of healing, the dream of justice, the dream of love that is ever before us, no matter how dire or whatever wilderness we seem to be in at the present. So this call of Bishop Jane and the call of our gospel today is to keep our vision from turning always toward what was, to keep it looking forward to what is possible with God on our side, with God walking together, so that we do not need to be frightened the changes of life, but emboldened to risk a new thing, whether that be as a church, as a person of faith, whatever role you find yourself in. May our dreams for the church, for our lives, for our families, for our workplaces, for our communities, be ever bigger than our memories. Today, we start with the Gospel of Mark with Jesus' baptism. And there are three distinct movements in this passage, in this Gospel passage: water, wilderness, and back into the world. Jesus is in the water of baptism, and he rises up out of the waters and hears a voice from God saying, "You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the dove descends on him. He is cleansed in the waters of baptism and claimed as beloved. That is what we are invited to do as well in these 40 days the church has set aside and named as Lent, a special time to look at self within for self-reflection, self-awareness, as they say in 12-step programs, to do a moral inventory, to look at ourselves and see what it is that we need to be cleansed of, what we need to let go of, in order to move on into the dream God has for our life. We are asked to come out of the waters of baptism, to be cleansed, not because we're somehow evil, the human condition is somehow putrid, but because it is the human condition to need to clean off the sweat of life. We need to be cleansed in order to claim our human dignity. Think about it a little bit. When a newborn comes into the world, the parent or the aunts or the friends or the godparents bathe that child in its helplessness and fragility with love and tenderness and a little bit of courage, because they're often wriggly. They bathe the newborn not because the newborn is bad, but because the newborn needs to be cleansed to maintain health and its dignity. On the other end of life, the very, very elderly, the roles might be reversed, and then it's the child that helps bathe the adult who is too fragile to reach certain places, who is too fragile to take care of themselves anymore and needs help. So they may be cleansed and retained their human dignity. But it's not only the bookends of life that need this cleansing. I was in Baton Rouge last week with a friend who is just a couple years younger than me, and I found myself doing something I don't often do, because he had been in the hospital for 11 nights, 13 days, his feet got dried out. And I found myself, my friend, my same age, helping to tenderly put lotion on his feet so that they didn't hurt and crack. We need to care for ourselves and each other so that we may be cleansed, because it's our human condition to need it, so that we may be cleansed and then claim again our status as beloved of God, like Jesus did today. Come up out of the waters of repentance and claim our status as beloved. Now, Jesus wasn't just any human. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus came to remind us that God longs for us to be our whole selves, to be saved from our weaknesses. But even Jesus didn't just stand there after God said in a strong voice and sent a dove to identify Jesus as his beloved. Jesus just didn't stay in the water and say, "Let's go for a swim. You all heard that? I'm the beloved. Let's just hang around here." That same dove that helped identify him as the beloved, that same Spirit of God drove him into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, says the scriptures, and to be tended by angels. Jesus calls us to follow him into the wilderness, whatever wilderness it is that we find ourselves in at the present time. It's been a difficult week. Ash Wednesday, the shootings at the high school in Florida. Devastating. One of the girls who was killed was a leader in her youth group in the Episcopal Church. I'm a member of I received communications from a group called Sandy Hook Promise. And after that shooting, I got this communication. They told a story about one of the girls who survived that shooting in the high school in Florida. And she sent a text to her parents as she was hiding in a closet, a storage closet from the shooter. She sent a text, "If I don't make it, I love you." No parent should ever have to receive a text like that. No one. And no parent should ever have to receive or hear the words, "Your loved one isn't coming back to you." In our day and age, we are in a wilderness of violence, and people want to raise their hands and say, "What can be done? This is the problem. That's the problem. That's the problem. Let's find blame." Well, things weren't as violent in the past. Things will never change. But we are called to work together with the many issues that cause this devastating violence. How many shootings now in just 2018? To work together, all sides, to protect each other so that our world may live into the dream of a peaceful kingdom that God has for us. A kingdom where no child has to send a text like that young woman did, that freshman in high school did to her parents. And no child, no parent has to hear of the loss of their child who they sent off in safety, they thought, to school that day. We can't stay in the wilderness, tempted by Satan or tended by angels. Jesus stayed 40 days and 40 nights. But then he went back into the world in his salvific, redeeming mission to proclaim the kingdom of God, even though many wanted the message from someone bigger, bolder, brighter, not from this person from Nazareth, this carpenter's son. But through the disparagement, Jesus continued to know who he was and to engage in the mission God had specifically for him. And we are called to claim our mission as well. One of the other things we did at Diocesan Council this past week was we celebrated the 40th anniversary of the ordination of women in the Diocese of Texas. It was a really beautiful celebration. One of the stories that was told in the conversations afterwards was about a woman I know pretty well, the Reverend Sharon Turner, who I spent the last 10 Easter dinners with in the here in Houston, because she is the mother of one of my closest friends who's also a priest. We eat Easter dinner together. But the story that was told about her was that she was being one of the first women ordained, knew that she might not get any of the positions that she was capable of or even felt called to. So what she did was she was willing, with the diocesan leadership, to apply and be part of search processes in the Diocese of Texas so that these churches would at least see and be able to imagine a woman as rector of the parishes. She knew she was never going to be called because it was too new. She also wanted to minister in many of the places in which she served on search committees. But she did this process over and over again, 20 times, to open up space for the women who came after her. Much courage and self-sacrifice to walk into a process you knew you were going to be rejected from, but but thinking of those who came behind, who will come behind you, to dream for a bigger, more inclusive future for the church. What is your particular mission? That was very specific, very needed, very courageous that she did. But what is your particular mission? How would you, will you, use these days of Lent that the church has set aside to leave behind guilt and pain and anger and resentment and feelings of shortcoming, to be cleansed of those, to rise up again from the waters of baptism and claim your status as beloved of God, to enter into the wilderness and out again into the world to fulfill the mission that God has in store for you. I invite you to answer that through a process of self-examination and prayer, through a reboot, if you will, of your spiritual life. Because you will be fulfilled, a blessing. You will be part of the dream of God for this world. Amen.